भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाद बुद्धदे श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नमने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्यदेश तरणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौरवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Reading from the Bible, Canto 10, chapter 84, verse 23. Na yam vidanti ami upa eka ramas cha vrishnaya maya javanika achandam atmanam kalam ishvaram Nayam vadantyami bhupa Ekaramascha vrishnaya Maya javanika chandam Atmanam kalam ishvaram Nayam vadantyami bhupa Ekaramascha vrishnaya Maya javanika channam Atmanam kalam ishvaram Na Yam Kum Vedanti No Ami These Bhupa Kings Eka Together Arama, who enjoy, Cha, and Vrishnaya, Vrishni, Maya, the divine power of illusion, Javanika, by the curtain, Achangnam, covered, Atmanam, the supreme soul, Kalam, Time, Ishvaram, Supreme Controller. Translation, neither these kings nor even the Vrishnis who enjoy your intimate association know you as the soul of all existence, the force of time and the Supreme Controller. For them, you are covered by the curtain of Maya. Purport, Śrīla Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Lord Krishna's family and the Vrishnis were too familiar with him to realize he is the super soul residing in the heart of every created being. And those kings at Kurukshetra who were not devotees of Krishna could not recognize him as time, the annihilator of everything. Devotees and non-devotees are both covered by Maya, but in different ways. For the materialist, Maya is illusion, but for the Vaishnava, she acts as Yoga Maya, the internal potency who covers their awareness of the Supreme Lord's majesty and engages them in his eternal pleasure pastimes. Translation is, these kings, nor even the Vrishnis who enjoy your intimate association, know you as the soul of all existence, the force of time, and the Supreme Controller. For them, you are covered by the curtain of Maya. This is the sages speaking, and of course, the sages often have a rather typical concept of the Supreme Lord. That is, they regard the Supreme Lord as the creator and destroyer of the worlds. As I mentioned before, this is a very common concept of God. One who is the creator and controller and all-powerful and full of knowledge. And if you look at any scriptures, not only the Vedic scriptures, but the Bible or the Quran, you will find similar descriptions of God the Almighty, God the All-Knower, God the Creator, etc. And of course, we have stories about God creating the world and everything, these different scriptures. So that is a quite common conception of God, and that's also there even in among the people of India and among the sages, a very common conception. This is also the conception of the yogis when they worship Paramatma. So they worship Paramatma as the creator of the material world and the pervader of the material world, full of knowledge. So that is why the sages here are expressing this idea that actually you are the supreme controller. You are the force of time. You are the Paramatma, the Atma, the soul of all existence. Everything depends on you. Yeah? So this is for the normal person, this is the conception of God. So the sages here are saying that yes, you are actually God. On the other hand, many people, we recognize that, so that's our good quality. We recognize you as God. You are Krishna, but you are also God, supreme controller, creator, Paramatma, etc. Other people don't recognize you. So there are two types of people mentioned here. The regular kings of the world, who don't have spiritual perception, or at least very little, and therefore when they see Krishna, then they think, oh, he is not God. He's some ordinary living entity. And then we have great devotees of the Lord, like the Rishnis. Now, of course, the Rishni can mean the inhabitants of Dwarka, who belong to the Rishni dynasty, but actually can also even refer to the inhabitants of Vrindavan by their relationship, because they were related to Vasudev. Nanda was related to Vasudev, so even that can include them. So all of these people, the people of Dwarka and the people of Vrindavan, did not see Krishna as God. They were like the materialists. But at the same time, they are very, very different. So we cannot say that they're actually the materialists, like the materialists, though they don't also recognize Krishna as God. Their non-recognition of Krishna as God is very different. So the normal materialist, when he sees God and doesn't recognize him, that is because of ignorance. What is the cause of ignorance? The cause of ignorance is our desire to enjoy separately from God. We think we are independent of everything. So then we get a material body and we identify with our material body, with ahankara. So this produces ignorance. We think we are separate from everything. And therefore, if the Supreme Lord appears because of this identification with our body, then we will see Krishna in terms of material body also. And we don't recognize him as God. We cannot appreciate spiritual entities because we are identifying ourselves as a material entity. Therefore, that is the materialist, how he sees Krishna. He's a material body like us. Maybe he has punya, therefore he has power or wealth, but actually he's a material person. And now, the Vrishnis also see Krishna as a great person, a wonderful person, etc. And they don't see him as God also, but the cause is completely different. It is not because of ignorance in the same way as the merchants in the material world. They have no desire to enjoy for themselves. They have no covering of ahankara. They have no identity with material bodies. At all. So the cause of their identification of Krishna, not as God, is because of their extreme devotion, intense devotion. That intense devotion in the relationship with Krishna overcomes their knowledge of him being God. So it doesn't mean that they are ignorant that he is God, but rather the force of their love covers that up as being unfavorable to their particular type of love. That is not so in all cases. So even with the Vrishnis, it is not always so. So sometimes they appreciate Krishna as God. Even in the prayers of the Vakya and Vasudeva, they will appreciate Krishna and his appearance as Supreme Lord and God and Paramatma, etc. But They also identify Krishna as their son. And the other Vrishnis also identify him as their relative. So therefore they have a relationship, a more affectionate relationship to him. And that sometimes overpowers their idea of Krishna as God. With other forms of God, like the Vishnu forms, the devotees who worship Vishnu don't have such an intimate relationship, and therefore when they their devotion includes the idea that Vishnu is God. So that devotion never obstructs their vision of God. They always think Vishnu is God, Vishnu is God. In their most intense prema, and they're still identifying Vishnu as God. Whereas with the Vrishnis, sometimes they'll see, appreciate Krishna as God, and at the same time, they, because of the intensity, they will also see him as their relative and son. And with the Vrajabhasis, they, out of their intense love, are not aware of Krishna as God at all. They are only aware of him as their son, or as their friend, or as their lover, because of the intensity of love. So because of that intensity of love, those devotees are considered supreme devotees. That love is so strong that it will overcome the conception that Krishna is God, even though they are not ignorant. So that is exactly what Uddhava told the people of Mathura when Krishna had a certain purpose in sending Uddhava to Vrindavan, because Uddhava was trusted by the Rishis as being very truthful, and he was a great counselor, and his words were very well spoken. So Krishna sent him to Vrindavan, and of course he was also qualified because he understood Krishna very well, and he also appreciated the people of Vrindavan, because he was a great devotee, he could understand their devotion, even though his devotion was different. So when he saw the Vrajabhasis, then he realized that their love is more intense than our love, because they are not related to Krishna like we are related to Krishna. Uddhava was the cousin of Krishna, and everyone else was related to Krishna in Mathura, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan were not so closely related at all. And yet, their love was so intense that they were dying in separation from Krishna. Whereas the inhabitants of Mathura, for 12 years they were separated from Krishna. But they didn't die, and they didn't experience separation in the same way. So Uddhava realized that the love of the Vrajavasis in this symptom of almost dying because of separation from Krishna, that was a sign of the great intensity of their love. So therefore, when he went back to Mathura, he said that Vrishnis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, are greater devotees than us, even though Krishna is the son of Vasudeva Devaki. Nanda and Yasoda have more love for him than even his parents do. So he testified to the greatness of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So the unique quality of that love is the love is so intense that they don't even appreciate his qualities as God, even if he shows them, as I explained yesterday. They will find an excuse to cover that up somehow or other. And in this way they experience the highest type of bliss. So that is why Rupa Goswami explains that, of course, all forms of Krishna are Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. So that form of Krishna is supreme. And he manifests all sorts of rasas there, which the other forms don't. But even Krishna has three faces. Just like we have Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman as faces of God. And then we have Prabhava forms and Vaibhava forms and Paravasta forms of God, so with more manifestations. So even when we get to Swayam Bhagavan, even there is degrees of manifestation of qualities. So when he's in Dwarka, then he's full manifestation, Purna. And when he's in Mathura, there's slightly more manifestation, Purnatara, more perfect. And when he's in Vrindavan, then there is complete manifestation of his qualities as Purnatama. Most perfect. So even Krishna will manifest different amounts of qualities. He's the same person, but he will manifest different amounts of qualities in different places. So in Dwarka he manifests some, and in Mathura slightly more, because he is not yet so royal and kingly. He's still getting educated, etc. And he's not the controller. Whereas in Dwarka he's regarded as the king, etc. And gets married and has all the queens. So there's more power, show of power there. In Mathura is not so much power showing. Though Vasudeva and Devaki saw that when Krishna was born, he was actually a Vishnu form. So they understand he's God. But in Vrindavan, they don't see him as a Vishnu form at all. And if they see a Vishnu form, as in one of the tricks that Krishna played, when he disappeared and then the gopis began looking for Krishna everywhere, and Krishna decided to play a trick on them, so he showed his Vishnu form with four hands. And the gopis came up to Vishnu and said, where's Krishna? And Vishnu said, oh, he went that way. So then the gopis just ran away. They didn't think of Vishnu at all, and they were looking for Krishna. So they're not attracted to the powerful forms of God at all. And even if Krishna says he is God, they were still not. They won't believe it because of the intensity of their love. So in that intensity of love and in that particular form, Krishna shows all of his qualities in full. Or he does not show that in Mathura or in Dwarka. So even Krishna is subject to various manifestations of qualities. And of course, we also understand even in Vrindavan, there is various levels of manifestation. So in the different rasas, we have like Shanta Rasa, and then we have Dasya Rasa, and we have Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and Madhurya Rasa. So these are considered like, also like, just like the elements we have. And we have ether, and the quality of ether is sound. And then the next element is air, and the quality of air is sound and touch. Then we have the element fire, and the quality is sound, touch, and form. And then we have the element water, and we have sound, touch, form, and taste. And then we have earth, and we have sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Fragrance. So in earth we have five manifested in that one element, five qualities. And in water, then we have four, and air we have three, and fire we have three, and air two, and ether one. So in the earth we have all five manifested. So similarly, in the rasas, gradually we'll get more and more quality manifest from Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, till we get Madhurya. And then Madhurya is the complete manifestation. Yes. There's more levels. It's explained that like prema, bhava is there, which is realization of Krishna with bliss. Prema is more intense. And then we go higher, we get sneha, which is higher and more intense. And we get raga, which is even more intense. So as we go through the relationship with Krishna, the dasya will manifest mainly prema and a little sneha. Then we get to sakya, then we get more sneha and a little bit of raga. And we get to vatsalya, then it is mainly raga, intense raga at all times. That is complete attachment to Krishna and unbearable pain in any moment of separation from Krishna, so that one cannot live without Krishna. And then in Madhurya Rasa we get Man and Anuraga and Mahabhava. And so those are, plus everything else below is manifested in the gopis in Madhurya Rasa, but we also get these higher ones, Man, Anuraga, and Mahabhava. So it's like the earth element with all the things manifested. So everything's manifested there. Bhava, Prema, Sneha, Raga, and Anuraga, and Mana, and Mahabhava. Everything is there. So that's the complete form. And it's manifested in Madhurya Rasa with the gopis. So therefore, even in Vrindavan, we'll find various manifestations of Krishna's qualities with the difference devotees there, and it reaches its highest peak in the gopis, with the Krishna's relationship with the gopis. That's where he manifests the most intense love, and they experience the highest love. So that is why Lord Chaitanya also has manifested himself in this material world. Even in the Madhurya Rasa, then there's also stages of manifestation. And at the top we have Radha as the, and Krishna, and that's the highest manifestation of love. Then of course we have Sakis and everything like the Manjaris, all that. And we have different types of gopis and different relationships. So the highest is the relationship of Radha and Krishna. So that's the full manifestation, 100% full manifestation of everything. And that is why Lord Chaitanya has indicated the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their love as the final object of meditation for the jiva. It's the highest form. And that's what we have, Radha Krishna deities in all our temples, to indicate that. So in this way, there are various levels and realizations of the qualities of Krishna and intensity of love of Krishna, all the way up to the very top. Outside of Vrindavan, then to various degrees, things are covered up, as it is said in this verse, Maya Javanika Achannam. The Lord is covered by the screen or the curtain of Maya. But that curtain of Maya is different for devotees and non-devotees. For non-devotees, the curtain is Mahapaya, ignorance, illusion, material world. But for the devotees, it's not that Maya, because they have no Maya, that type of Maya. It is only the Yoga Maya. That is the Lord's spiritual energy. So certain things are hidden from certain types of devotees. And they don't appreciate those things. For instance, even in Vrindavan, there are certain things which are not allowed to coincide or happen together. For instance, the in Vatsalya Rasa with the Madhu Yasoda and Nanda thinking of Krishna as their son. They cannot, the concept of Madhurya Rasa for them is impossible. So there can be no mixture there of Madhurya Rasa with their Vatsalya Rasa. So, in that sense, they don't really understand or comprehend the Rasa Leela or anything like that. So, therefore, they never see that. It's hidden from them. They're never aware of that Rasa Leela. Completely. One would think maybe they wake up in the middle of the night and Krishna's not there and they go out and find him. They can never do that. Never happen. Because it's a different type of taste and different type of realization. But Krishna covers that from them. So they don't see the Rasa Leela at all. In this way, the Yoga Maya potency operates in relation to Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world in order to maintain some sort of the pastimes and the rasas and the relationships together, without contradiction. So there is a type of covering, but it is different from the material covering. In the spiritual world, the covering is only due to Krishna's arrangement. For devotees who have no material ignorance, no material ahankar, etc. So it is completely different. And it is not a fault in the Supreme Lord that he does this. It is there in order to allow all devotees to experience to full satisfaction their relationship with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, they're completely satisfied with that. So therefore, the devotees of Vishnu are completely satisfied with that and do not think, well, Krishna's actually better, so let's try to become devotees of Krishna instead of Vishnu. They don't think like that. Why? Because of the potency of the Lord is there. So they have no interest in that, even though they are full of knowledge and they have no ignorance. They stick to their own form of worship and devotion. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, we can say, are ignorant of the bliss of Goloka. But it's not the ignorance like the material world, because they're in full knowledge, they have no ignorance. So it is more or less hidden from them by this curtain of Yoga Maya. So there's no problem for them. So in this way, Krishna's Yoga Maya acts very, very skillfully to keep everything in order in the spiritual realm. It happens even in the material world when Krishna comes. For instance, when Krishna separated himself and went to Mathura for 3 months or longer, we think, Krishna left and he said, promise, I will come back after a few days. And he sent Nanda and the cowherd boys and the cowherd men back to Vrindavan. And he stayed in Mathura and said, I have to stay with my parents for a few days. Though actually they're not my parents, you're my real parents. But anyway, I'll stay with them for a few days, then I will come back. So Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men and cowherd boys went back to Vrindavan very happily, waiting for Krishna. And they waited and waited and waited and waited. And they waited more than a few days, and they waited months, and he didn't come back. Did Krishna keep his promise or not? So visibly, when Uddhava went there, they were still in separation, it looked like. And even after Uddhava went back to Mathura, Krishna didn't go back. And he went to Dwarka and still didn't go back until Kurukshetra. And they still didn't go back. And even after Kurukshetra, he told them to go home again. And they went back to Vrindavan again. And Krishna didn't go back. This is actually a very great contradiction for the devotees. How can Krishna break his promise to the greatest devotees? If he breaks the promise to the greatest devotees, what to speak of lesser devotees or non-devotees? he won't keep his promise at all. So Krishna says, "Na me bhakta pranasyati," and my devotees never vanquished, and I never fail my devotees. But he failed the greatest devotees, and what is the use of Krishna's promise? Krishna says, "You don't follow the spiritual world." Well, how can you believe that either? So there's a big contradiction there. So therefore, the answer is given that Krishna did keep his promise and he did return. And he went back to Vrindavan. But it's very strange because we don't see that in the Bhagavatam. But yes, Krishna did go back, but we actually have two forms of Krishna. Krishna who didn't go back and Krishna who did go back. And therefore we have to have two forms of Vrajavasis. Those who were in separation from Krishna, which are the Vrajavasis that came to Kurukshetra, and another set of Vrajavasis, same Vrajavasis in another form, who again met Krishna after a few days, and then Krishna stayed there eternally. So there are two sets of Vrajavasis there also. So there was two Nandas and two Yasodas and two Subals and two Sridams and all the cows and everyone. Two sets of them. And those in the manifest Leela where there's separation from Krishna for many years. And there was another set of Vrajavasis and Krishna came back. And we don't see them, but they're there. And Krishna fulfilled his promise to them. And they're all going on with the pastimes eternally there. By Krishna's potency, you can do that. But then we'll say, well, how come the Vrajavasis aren't aware of this? Here the Vrajavasis are full of lamentation. They were separated from Krishna for so long. If they have two forms, then they would know. How is it possible? Because of separation. Kirtana Maya is there. The one form is not aware of the other form. Even though they're the same person. How is that possible? We can't conceive of that. So there's Ananda who is aware that Krishna is there with them in Vrindavan, which is a form we don't see, a prakat form. And then there's Ananda there in separation from Krishna. And the two sets, the two Nandas, are not aware of the other Nanda. Even though Nanda Maharaj is full of all knowledge also, because it's a Nityasiddha devotee. So this takes place by the potency of Krishna, his Maya. He's able to hide one from the other, even though they're the same person. So this is the extraordinary power of Krishna to reveal some things and not reveal other things. And in this way, the Leelas are there and it increases the flavor and taste in the different pastimes of the Lord. So that's why he has this Yogamaya potency to hide certain things. So in this way, Krishna is in complete control of this potency. And it cooperates with his will for performing pastimes. And the ultimate purpose of this is to give the greatest satisfaction to his devotees. And so this Maya is never used simply to bewilder and torture the devotees, but rather to increase their prema, their love of God. So that is how Krishna operates. So the sages here are, they understand to some degree the nature of Krishna, that he uses his potency of yoga maya to hide his powers as God, even though he is God, He uses the potency to hide his qualities from his great devotees in Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. Okay. Any questions? Vrishnis and Yadu actually they're the same dynasty, just as we have a dynasty, then we'll have different personalities appearing in that dynasty, and we can trace it back. So we can trace it back to Yadu, or we can trace it back to Vrishni, either way. In other words, there's a whole series of personalities. Sometimes Krishna is also called Madhava. Huh? And Madhava means Madhu. Descendant of Madhu. So Madhu was also in the same dynasty, the Rishni dynasty. So it's called Madhava because of that. And they're called Yadava. Because Yadu was in the dynasty. So it's Yadava. So it's called Madhava because Madhu was in the dynasty. So like that, just simply because different personalities were there in that same dynasty, they give it different names.
Potency of your Maya covering is same in spiritual and material world, or any difference?
Krishna's yoga maya, whatever, it's the same. Now when Krishna appears in the material world, then all of his potencies are the same potencies that are in the spiritual world. Well, as I said, these different stages have to do with the intensity of love. So bhava is the first stage where one realizes the Supreme Lord. And prema is defined as, or bhava is described as a ray in relation to the sun. One ray of light in comparison to the sun. Whereas sun is prema and the ray is bhava. But bhava is actually a realization of the Lord, and in that bhava state one can experience ananda, and one sees Krishna and is aware with one's spiritual senses of Krishna, has a relationship with Krishna. But in prema is like the sun in relation to the thing, so there's much more of an experience of love in prema. So the attachment to Krishna becomes more intense in prema. So prema is a general state which exists in all the whole spiritual world, whether it's Vaikuntha or Goloka or wherever. In any form of God in the spiritual world, there's prema. Those who are in Dasya Rasa will have that prema. And those in Shanta Rasa also, because they have prema on a very low degree. And those in Dasya will have a little higher. If the attachment becomes even stronger, it becomes sneha. So some of the servants of Krishna will have a mixture of sneha in their dasya, slightly stronger. And when we come to the sakya rasa, the pure sakya rasa we'll find in Krishna, and not in the other forms of God, really. So with Krishna we'll find sakya rasa, and in sakya rasa that sneha becomes more prominent. And that means the attachment for Krishna is even more. So because of that attachment, separation from Krishna will create more intense feelings. And when we come to raga in Vatsalya rasa, that is with Nanda and Yasoda, the elder gopis and gopis for Krishna, then the attachment is even more. And consequently, any separation for Krishna can produce extreme symptoms. So it is said that, I think in this raga stage, that any separation from Krishna, or any person who has that attachment is such that they will give up their life for Krishna, a very, very extreme attachment to Krishna. He is worth more than their life. So that's Vatsalya, and Vatsalya is like constantly on raga. And some of the friends, there is also some raga. It goes up to raga a little bit, but basically sneha. And in Vatsalya rasa, the attachment becomes even more. And Krishna is their life and soul. For instance, when Mother Yasoda sees Krishna, and then Krishna, the Putana demon is there, expands and everything, she's a huge demon. And then Mother Yasoda, because of that, Krishna is going to be killed by this big demon, then she almost, she faints. She cannot do anything. She feels great pain and separation from Krishna when she sees him in such great danger. And then in Madhurya Rasa, of course, then we get higher stages than that. It goes up to Anuraga Mahabhava, and therefore we get extreme symptoms, which manifest as their ultimate form in separation from Krishna, which is called Viparalamba. So that's why sometimes we hear that word Viparalamba in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, because that, with the separation of the gopis from Krishna, then we find the most extreme symptoms. And those are described in the Bhagavatam when Krishna disappears during the Rasalila night, and then they have all sorts of symptoms there, extreme symptoms. So that is, those Mahabhava symptoms are only manifest in the gopis in Madhurya Rasa. So that's the highest stage of attachment, the most intense stage, and therefore the most extreme symptoms. Well, yeah, because Radha is the ultimate devotee, so therefore her love is the most intense for all the gopis.
The way Krishna's yogamaya is working in material realm as well, can we say similarly that Krishna's mahamaya is working in spiritual world as well?
Mahamaya? No, there's no mahamaya in that. That's a material potency. A chit potency of the Lord, ignorance.
So when
that's operating in the material world, and it causes bondage for the jiva and consequently suffering and samsara. So that's not in the spiritual world.
So when we became envious, so those envious thoughts were coming from where? And that was from yogamaya or?
Well, the Lord Chaitanya says your ignorance is anadi, without beginning. Anadi bahir mukha.
Can you explain that more?
That means you cannot trace it out and say when was something else.
So what was that ignorance?
What, huh?
What was that ignorance? That envious thought is a ignorance.
Yeah, it means you identify with the material body and the desire to be an enjoyer. And you cannot trace a beginning to that.
But you can have spiritual envy?
Well, there is, like there's anger in the spiritual world also. There's a rasa called Rodha Rasa. So anger and hatred more or less go together. This is what's called irsha in the spiritual world. Sometimes the gopis hate Krishna because he does things and they don't like it. But of course that is not real hatred. It is only a color to their prema, their love, that's all. So those are called secondary rasas, which support the main bhava of Madhurya Rasa. They have illusion in the spiritual world called moha also. One of the Vyabhachari bhavas is called moha. Complete bewilderment. But it is not like material bewilderment. It's only an aspect of their prema. And it gives a little color to their prema. That's all.
How do we understand his pastime in the spiritual world when already Goloka is already there? So what kind of pastimes of Mahaprabhu is
in the spiritual world?
And what is the relevance of those pastimes? Because already in the spiritual world.
Yeah. No. Well, the Krishna manifests as Lord Chaitanya to experience what Radha experiences when she sees Krishna, and the sweetness of that experience with Krishna. In other words, Radha understands that Krishna is the most wonderful object, and Krishna wants, well, how is I'm the most wonderful object? So he can only understand that if he experiences it from another point of view as a devotee. So therefore he takes the role of Radha, and then he experiences, so I can understand what my beauty is and what my sweetness is and the greatness. And he can also understand the greatness of Radha's love, how great that love is. So in other words, he identifies with the devotee and then experiences Krishna. So that can take place in the spiritual world or the material. It doesn't matter either way.
The rest of us in the other Krishna has got the then why he has been come to ask where worshiping Krishna thinks that you're his friend.
Yeah.
So then why today I think it has been they're not saying
oh, the difference is that it's not that they're ignorant of the Supreme Lord, but their attachment to him is so great that any idea of him being God interferes with that great attachment by identifying him as their son or their friend, etc. So the greatness of love is so great that it eclipses that idea of Krishna as God. It doesn't mean they're ignorant of him as God, but it just means that intensity is so great that it's there. In our case, the idea that Krishna is God is covered up by the fact that we think that we are an enjoyer. That's not there in the spiritual world. It's because of the intensity of love for Krishna. And our ignorance is due to the intensity of our attraction for ourselves.
What's the difference between one being ignorant of Krishna or one being unaware of Krishna?
Where? As a materialist?
Yeah, like in the world today we see so many suffering people fighting, countries fighting.
Yeah. Well, in that sense, unawareness and ignorance are the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. The other difference, of course, is hatred of the Supreme Lord. That's even worse. That's aparadis. That's demons. You know, they hate the concept of God. Yeah? And then it's people who are just ignorant. So those are neutral people. So there's more hope for them. Those who hate God, then it is more difficult because they're aparadis. For those who are just ignorant and don't know, then there's possibility they can advance more quickly. And those who are favorable, but willing to accept, they're even in a better position. And they can develop faith very quickly.
Like we get knowledge from Prabhupada's books, so if anyone can get the book and he can read, then he will be enlightened.
Well, if people are demons, they may not, because if they read, they won't understand it or they'll hate it. They'll simply question everything that's there, so they won't accept it. Huh? Just like you read a book and you don't appreciate the subject matter, then you put it down and read something else instead of whatever. Or if you read a book with a scientist talks about evolution, hey, that's nonsense, and you put it down. So they read a religious book, hey, that's nonsense, and they'll put it down also. So that's like preaching to the demons, then they simply become opposed and commit aparad. Yeah, so that's something like Dwarka. Where there's an understanding of Aishwarya. But it's different from Dwarka because Krishna is the cowherd boy. And there's cows there, and there's Nanda Yasoda and the gopis and everything. So they have similar relationships like in Vrindavan, similar pastimes, but they're all aware of Krishna as God at the same time. So it's a little bit different because of that.
So all these
Premas
and
Premas
and
Premas
are all these
things
still there?
In Aishwarya Goloka? Because everything will be eclipsed or slightly restricted because of the Aishwarya. In other words, there'll be Madhurya Rasa and all those things, but just as in Dwarka does Madhurya Rasa also, but it is not as intense because of that Aishwarya, because the queens also understand Krishna as God, so therefore it's not so intense.
In the second said that the Yadava, the Yadus and the Krishnas are actually aware, their awareness is only filled with the fact that Krishna is the supersoul is only the entity.
Yeah. Well, as I said, with the Vrishnis, it's both. Huh? They identify him as their relative or as their son. Huh? And they also see him as God, like the Vasudeva and Devaki. Yeah? They understand, oh, you're our son, Krishna, and they treat him like a son. But at the same time, they also know he's God. So it's a mix. Whereas in Vrindavan, it's purely seeing him as their son.
When you say that the genius was where that came from, we can't trace it back.
Yeah.
So, in case of in that regard, Nitya Siddha devotee, they must be aware of that fact. That's why they are, and that when you are aware of fire, you don't put your hand in the fire. So Nitya Siddha devotee must be aware of that.
Aware of what?
Sorry?
Aware of what?
That from where this enemy's thoughts are coming, so I should not endure.
Well, Nitya Siddhas are just engaged in bliss of the pastimes of Krishna. So why would they start thinking of envy or anything at all? Or causes of envy? In other words, the inhabitants of Braja are not philosophers. And not discussing, oh, this is achittattva, this is chittattva, this is tatastashakti, and this is... This is for material world. There's no philosophers in the spiritual world. They don't need philosophy. They're beyond philosophy. And all they see is God, and they experience God in different forms. And then they experience bliss because of that, and a relationship with God.
Maharaj, is it possible that our free will in the spiritual world can give rise to enviousness? Because we have free will, we decide...
Well, because we are tatastha shakti, jiva, then obviously the possibility would be there as jiva, and because of that also we have jivas who are in the material world. But there's one little exception, and that is explained by Jiva Goswami in Tatva Sandarbha, where he explains nitya badas and nitya muktas. So he says the quality of the nitya mukta is he's, chitvilas anugrahita, which means that he possesses the chit shakti of the Lord, whereas the conditioned jiva does not. So there's a little bit of an extra, I would say, endowment of the jivas in the spiritual world, which guarantees that they don't ever deviate from their positions and fall into ignorance.
Holiness Panik Swami Maharaj Ki.